सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। Like to wish all mothers a very, very happy Mother's Day. May you have a wonderful day today and the rest of the year. Also, this week we celebrated Pooja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda Ji's 104th Jayanti all over the world. And those of you who did not have a chance to watch it, please go to YouTube and on Chinmaya channel you will see all over the world how many people this great master had touched. Yeah, adults, children, seniors, men, women, swamis, brahmacharis, and all over the world people have offered their homage to him, even in small places like Mauritius, Mombasa, all over the world, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore. It's a very wonderful, it's called Yoga Purush. And please try to watch it on YouTube. Go to Chinmaya channel. It is because of Pooja Gurudev that we are all here. Whatever we are all studying, we are all learning, it is because of his teachings, because of his, that he made the effort to bring this knowledge from the Himalayas down to the plains and ultimately throughout the world. I don't know where I would have been if I had not contacted Pooja Gurudev and his teachings and his students. And through his students, this knowledge is continuing throughout the world. And we have met various acharyas, Swami Tejomaya Nandaji Guruji, Swami Ishwaranandaji, Swarupanandaji, Vimalji, Bodhatmanandaji. So we see how this knowledge is spreading throughout the world, where there are almost 300 centers and thousands of students are studying this knowledge. So This is our opportunity to pay homage to Pooja Gurudev. So far in the 8th chapter, Bhagwan Shri Krishna is answering Arjuna's 7 questions. One is, what is this Brahman? Brahman is the supreme consciousness that is all-pervading, that is the substratum of this universe. And Adhyatmam is that same consciousness manifesting in all of us. As individuals, it is one consciousness which is reflected. And then what is karma? Karma is the creative force, and it is the force which runs this entire universe. And then adhibhutam is the ksharobhava, is the destructible element, that this whole world is changing, destroying what we call as prakriti. And what is adhidaiva? Adhidaiva is the controlling power. So in our eyes, ears, in our hands, feet, the power that controls is called adhidaiva. And adhiyajna is the supreme lord to which all the offerings are made. Whatever I see, hear, smell, taste and touch goes inside through the mind, through the sense organs, and it is the lord within adhiyajna which illumines. And then the last week we heard verse number 5 and 6, where the Lord says that whatever you remember at the time of death is where you will go. So if you remember me, you will go to me. If you remember the world, you will go to the world. And how can we remember God at the time of death? If we remember him throughout the life. That's what he says. Whatever is your dominant thought throughout this life will be your final thought at the time of death. If all you have been thinking of is world and money and power and position, that it is impossible to think of God at the time of death. So let us spend as much time as we can thinking about the Lord. And today we will continue this, because people ask, how am I to remember the Lord constantly, day and night, morning, evening? Don't I have to work? Don't I have to do anything? So we'll do verse number 7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu.
Mamanusmarayudhyacha.
Mamanusmarayudhyacha.
Mayarpitamano buddhihi.
Mayarpitamano buddhihi.
Mame vaishyasya samshayaha.
Mame vaishyasya samshayam.
Together, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmarayudhyacha mayarpitamano buddhihi mame vaishyasya samshayam. Yeah, in some commentaries it says samshayaha, in some it says samshayam. The meaning is the same, no doubt. So therefore, tasmat means therefore, the Lord is telling us, as we had said in the last 2 verses, you remember me because whatever is your dominant thought throughout the life, sada tat bhava bhavitaha, that will be your final thought at the time of leaving this body. So therefore, how can I remember you at all times? So Bhagavan will tell us here in this verse, sarveshu kaleshu, at all times, morning, noon, night, whatever you are doing, mam anusmara, anu means constantly, smara means remembering me, the Lord says, yudhyacha, yudhya means fight. We'll explain what is meant by fight. So he says, remembering me, you fight. And mai arpit mano buddhihi, your mind and intellect, mana or buddhi, offered into me, offered to me, given to me. What will happen? Mam eva aishyasi, you will reach me alone, asamshayam, there is no doubt that you will reach me and me alone. So the first point I would like to clarify, because people always criticize the Bhagavad Gita as saying that, well, most religions talk of peace, and here Bhagavan Shri Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight a war. what kind of religion is that? We have to understand the context in which the Bhagavad Gita was taught. It was not taught like the Upanishads were taught to students who were already qualified, who had studied a lot, approached the teacher and at the banks of the Ganga, under the Himalayas, under the trees, in a very tranquil atmosphere, they were studying this knowledge. Here we find that Arjuna is at this moment deluded, does not know what is his duty, and his duty at that time was to fight a just war, because he was facing evil forces which, if they had been allowed to continue to exist, they would have destroyed the India that was at that time, because they were the most powerful kingdom, just as we have talked about that before, when Hitler was ruling over Europe and spreading his power everywhere. If the other forces of the rest of the world had not got together and fight, you know, he would have been a very malignant force. So that was the Kauravas were. So they had to be finished, and that was the instruction given to Arjuna. When Bhagwan tells you and me to fight, what he says is that in this life we always have struggle. Life is never easy. There is always competition, there are always problems. So when you deal with the world, life is not going to be easy for every one of us. So what he means is fight is bravely face whatever challenges come from this world. I was reading a very nice commentary. He says that when they talk about fight, so like when you are fighting a war, there are three kinds of, this is the ancient war, not with the missiles and not with planes, but in a traditional war, what do you face? You face three different kinds of enemies. One is the infantry, right? The people who walk by foot. And so they fight on foot. Then there is the cavalry, the horses, which move very, very fast, attack and then go away and disappear. And the third is the elephants, which move slowly, but which are very, very powerful. So in life, we are faced with three kinds of enemies. What is the infantry, the walking slow? It is fear. And fear comes from what? From the unknown. When I don't know what I should do, when I don't know what is my duty, and fear comes from seeing the other. I am not afraid of myself, I am always afraid of somebody else. So when I see this world as you and me, then I have fear. But when I see the oneness in the whole world, that is how to overcome fear, because there is nobody else except me. So that is the first, the infantry. What is the cavalry that comes suddenly and goes away? Is anger. We don't know from where anger comes. Suddenly it arises. I get angry, so, and I start shouting and get so upset. And then a few minutes later I say, I shouldn't have got angry. So anger is like the cavalry that attacks and then rapidly runs away. So that is the second enemy we have to face. Fear, anger. And what is the third one, which is the elephants, which are very, very strong and slow moving? That is selfishness. The idea that I alone matter and nobody else does. So these are the three major enemies that Bhagavan mentions. Fear, anger, and selfishness. So that is what we have to fight. Now he says, constantly remember me, sarva kaleshu. How is that possible? Don't I have to go to work? Don't I have to... What we do in our life, the mistake we make is we separate religion and life. We say religion is good. Yeah, I practice when I go to the church or the temple, and in front of God I bow down, I have very good thoughts. But the moment I come out, religion is not practical. You know, you have to live the life. In life, you have to cheat a little. So to try and separate religion and life is a major error. Your religion should carry into your life. Whatever you have studied in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever we have studied in Bal Vihar, whatever we have studied from all these Swamijis, should become a part of my daily life. Otherwise, there is no point of studying all this. There is no point of spending our time reading this literature. So Bhagavad Gita is not only a book of religion, it is a book of life. It is an instruction manual. so that this teaching should then come into my daily life. That's what Bhagavan says when he says remembering me means whatever teachings you have obtained from me, from all the masters. It could be Jesus, it could be Buddha, it could be Mahavir, any great masters, Swami Chinmayananda, whatever they have taught, we have to carry it with us. The other thing is, one should not forget who I am. When I am working in the world, I should understand that I am a divine being. Om, the consciousness, is in every one of us. So I am not an ordinary human. I am capable of a lot of things because God is in me. We had talked about that before. If you forget who you are, that's when problems arise. Like Gurudev in his commentary talks about the actor. When the actor is acting, and whether he's playing the role of a king or he's playing the role of a beggar, and you know, if he's Shah Rukh Khan or Brad Pitt or whoever the actor is, when he or she is playing that role, they don't forget who they are. This doesn't mean that if he's playing the role of a king, when he comes home and says, I am the king, and everybody, is not going to happen. This reminds me of Heath Ledger. I think some of you, it's an old story, but he played the part of Joker in the Batman movie. And he got so caught up in that role that he used to wear that costume and that makeup even while going home in the car. And he would keep it on for hours because he wanted to immerse himself so much in that role of Joker, that negative role. As you don't feel, I don't know if you remember, but the Joker was extremely volatile and extremely... And he got so caught up in that role that ultimately his mind was so agitated that to sleep, he had to take large doses of sleeping pills, pain medications, Vicodin, oxycodone. And ultimately, at very young age, I think it was in his 30s, he died of an overdose of prescription medicine. Where he, instead of, he forgot who he was, Heath Ledger, and got so caught up in that role of Joker. And you and I are not any different from him, because we all are that consciousness, but we have got so much caught up in this role that I am Anil or Jagrati or Naina or Tony, and this is, I'm a male or female, and this is what I do. So we are constantly lost in this role that we are supposed to play, and we have forgotten who we are. So the Bhagavad Gita reminds us that you all are divine. You all have this divinity in you. Do not forget that. Do not become like the actor who gets so lost in his role. And also, a person who is educated will never forget his education, right? Once he has done his bachelor's, master's, PhD in physics or mathematics or whatever, you don't need to teach him again, you know, what is the square of the hypotenuse or the square of the other two sides or what. He doesn't need to, because he has already studied that. He does not need to know 2 plus 2 is 4. So, just as an educated man never forgets his education, so you and I should never forget the education that we have received from all these great masters. At the same time, it is very important that education should not make us arrogant. Education or any worldly accomplishments we have, if we have become successful, I am a CEO, or I have become, have a lot of money, or... What unfortunately happens that it makes us arrogant. And there is a very famous saying in Sanskrit, Vidya Dadati Vinayam. Vidya Dadati Vinayam. Vidya gives us humility. If knowledge makes me arrogant, then I have not really got the knowledge. Or if I have any acquisition, if I have acquired wealth, power, position, if it makes me arrogant, then I have not studied. Because the more I know, the more I realize how much I don't know. I may think I know medicine, but I only know one small aspect, gastroenterology. Even that, I don't know all of it. And there are so many other branches. Same thing in physics or computers or geography or history. There is so much to be known in science that the more you know, the more you realize how much you don't know. And the more you accomplish, if I become successful and accomplish a lot, the more I should become grateful to God, and I should develop humility and thank everybody because of whose contribution I have become successful. I have become accomplished, whatever I have done. This reminds me of a story. So there was this PhD in physics. He was originally from a very small village in India, and from his village he was the only one who had studied so much. He had gone to Stanford and then gone to Yale and done his PhD. And he came back, and he was coming back to his old village, and he was using the boat to cross the, there was a huge river, and there was a boatman who was rowing him, and he and the boatman were the only two. And this was the first one he had met from his village, so he was very anxious to show off his knowledge. So he asked the boatman, boatman, do you know what physics is? No, sir, I'm uneducated. I never even heard the word physics. He said, then quarter of your life is wasted. Then he says, have you heard of electrons, protons, neutrons? Sir, I don't even know how to pronounce them. Then half your life is wasted. Then he says, okay, at least do you know about energy? Energy. Boatman says, sir, only energy I know is how to row the boat. I don't know all these things, whatever you're talking about. He said, then three quarters of your life is wasted. A poor boatman is quiet because this guy is bragging. As they go halfway to the across the river, a huge storm comes. Suddenly the winds are blowing and the rain is falling, and the boat is turning and side to side, is going to topple any minute. The waves are so high. And he's scared, this professor. So the boatman says, sir, do you know how to swim? He said, no, I don't know how to swim. He said, then all your life is wasted. So the point is that we forget what is important in life, you know, and we focus on these little things. Yes, all these worldly accomplishments are important. But the most important is, what kind of an individual am I? Am I going to, people going to know me as a good person or a bad person, as honest or dishonest, as spiritual or as selfish? So that is more important, and that is what this story tells us, that focus on what is important. Not that one should not study physics, but don't forget who taught you, who got you there. And then we say, God, I can't remember him, you know, and that is true. And we sit and we want to meditate, forget about meditating. Even when we do the mala 108 times, Om Namah Shivaya, Shri Krishna Sharna Mama, or Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, after a couple of minutes, we say, Ram, you know, he borrowed $20 from me a month ago. He still hasn't returned. So suddenly from chanting Ram, now you are thinking about $20. And so the mind is very, very hard to focus. So we say, even 20 minutes or half an hour is bad for me, difficult for me to remember God. How am I going to remember Sarveshu Kaleshu at all times? That we think is very difficult. So they say that, how do I remember and also do my duty? Now in the seventh chapter and in the beginning of the eighth chapter, Bhagavan tells us that whatever you see, this Prakriti is me, that is my lower nature, and the illumining consciousness is my higher nature. So this universe is nothing but a combination of my lower nature and my higher nature. And Adhi Yajna, Adhi Daiva, Adhi Bhuta, all of these, whatever is the material objects and the energy that illumines them and the controlling power, everything is God. So whatever I come in contact with is God. Whatever I see, whatever I hear, smell, taste, touch is God. And my ability to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, talk, everything comes from God. So seeing God everywhere, then it is easier. So if I am a doctor, every patient that comes to me is God. If I am an engineer, whatever, if I am building a dam or building a factory, the factory I am building to serve humans who are God. If I am a computer programmer, the computer knowledge, the internet, everything is that divinity. So constantly remembering, we say that is very difficult. But let's think about it. If a person is single, and so all at that time he has to think about is himself, right? He goes somewhere, he's worried about, then he gets married. Now he starts thinking about his wife. So when he goes to buy some clothes for himself, he said, I also should buy something for my wife. or when he goes to a temple and they give him prasad, you know, this. So he'll say, can I take a little extra for my wife? So now he's in the back of his mind, there is another person who's part of his life, whom he's thinking about. And then they have a child. What happens? Now the focus becomes the child. So when the parents are out somewhere and they are shopping, they're always looking, oh, this dress will look so nice on my daughter, or this toy I can buy for my son. So how constantly we are able to shift our attention to another person. So that is how, when we develop this relationship with God, then and then alone we can remember God. And one should remember that ultimately whatever offerings I make go to God alone. He is the Adhi Yajna. So the one, whatever I see, hear, smell, taste and touch is for God. And how do we remember God? So they give very simple things, like you can have a picture of God in your room, in your car. Before you go to work, just stop in the prayer room. When you lie down, remember God at night. Wake up in the morning. So take every opportunity to remember God. Spend some time every day studying the Bhagavad Gita or any other text. So that is called Anusmara, means constantly remember. That does not mean 24/7, but at every opportunity, remember God. And then you will reach me alone. That's what Bhagavan says. And he says asamshaya, which means he gives us a guarantee. You know, when we go to buy a car, we say, how long is the guarantee? He says 5 years, 60,000 miles. Here Bhagavan says, guarantee is not only for this life, for multiple lifetimes. I give you a guarantee that you will reach me and reach me alone. So that is verse number 7.